Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Tuesday, November the 14th, 2023. And I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me and Professor James Fetzer. And with that said, I'm going to hand the mic over to Jim Fetzer because I haven't had him on for a couple of weeks, whatever it's been. By the way, Jim, how's your heart healing up?
Oh, good. I'm in great shape. I did a cardiac rehab program with about, 60 sessions, and everything was great.
Yeah.
My blood pressure was lower coming out than it was going in, and I'm walking a mile a day, Stu, and things are good. I'm glad to say thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, I've been there in 2019 with 3 heart attacks, and Joel's been there recently with a stent like I had to have, so it gets serious. You got to do the exercise, that's for sure. But with that said, what's the main subject you want to cover here, Jim?
Well, we want to begin with Gaza and Israel, of course. I mean, there's never been a situation like this where a genocide was taking place that was being broadcast worldwide by virtue of the Internet. In other words, here's a case where technology is having a vast political impact. You can read words about people being killed in large number in bombing campaigns, but today you can actually see it happening in Gaza. Israel's going all out. They want to kill or remove every Palestinian from Palestine. How ironic is that? Here you have an indigenous population that has lived in this land for 3,000 years, and you have interlopers who've been there for 75, and the interlopers are driving out and killing all of the indigenous population. It's very similar to the effort to move west in the United States, where millions and millions and millions of Native American Indians were slaughtered by the West. But that wasn't on television. This one is, and the whole world is aghast. And sad to say, the United States is right there, fully complicit. It turns out we have a secret base that's been under construction in Israel, just 20 miles from Gaza. 5,000 U.S. Delta Force were involved in the initial attempt to do a ground entry into Gaza. They got their ass shot off. Even Israeli television was reporting their disappointment. Bibi would like to use American troops into the most hazardous work so he can save precious Jewish soldiers because, you know, the lives of any other people are worthless in relation to the lives of Jews as they see it. And it turns out if you dig deeply, you find this is a religion that has enormous contempt for Christians and for Muslims. They actually denigrate and despise members of these other religions. I think Christians and Muslims do not fully appreciate the extent of the contempt in which they are held by Jews, particularly these Zionist Jews, who feel they have the right to exterminate and kill all Christians and all Muslims. Stu, it's absolutely staggering. I mean, you have Christianity with a God who is very forgiving, preaching a gospel of love, and in Islam, it's not that very different, where they regard Jesus as a prophet and a great moral leader. But in Judaism, the situation is just the opposite. Of course, their God is a God of vengeance. And if you read the Old Testament, slaughters, genocides abound. So they're being very faithful to their beliefs with the most tragic consequences imaginable. They have lost two invaluable properties of the Israeli mystique. Number one, on October 7th, they lost the image of invincibility, that the IDF was so professional, so qualified, they could deal with any threat. It appears that Netanyahu ordered the IDF to stand down for 7 hours, and that the IDF even participated in the slaughter, killing other Jews to run up the numbers to make it look as though Hamas had done something horrific, but which was allowed to happen by Netanyahu, so he could have the justification for the wholesale slaughter that's taking place today. But once that image of invulnerability is lost, it cannot be restored. And in addition, the victimhood card that they've been playing since World War II, rooted in gross, exaggerated false stories about 6 million Jews being put to death in gas chambers, when it turns out there were no gas chambers. I doubt there were 6 million Jews in all of Europe at the time. But where the International Committee of the Red Cross was keeping copious detailed records of the age, the sex, the ethnicity, the religion, and the cause of death of all inmates in all camps, and in 1993 recalibrated their final number, 296,081 who died from all causes combined, none of whom were put to death in gas chambers. Well, they've milked that image for political benefit, because Jewish political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. But when they're perpetrating a slaughter in a public fashion against innocent children and women in Gaza and the whole world sees, they have forfeited that trait too. They can no longer claim that they are the victims. They are in fact acting, again, toward the Palestinians precisely the way they allege, though falsely, that the Nazis acted toward them. So I think the mystique is gone, that Israel has been exposed. It's a monster rogue state. It's a terrorist state, and it is not adhering to international law, which it holds in contempt. They claim to be following a higher law, God's law, that entitles them to slaughter these people because they are the chosen ones, and the Palestinians are on their promised land.
Okay, now, boy, this is a good subject here, because I want Joe to chime in, but here's what I do know. That during Adolf Hitler's time, there was a General Raphael Eitan and Michael Hariri. And Michael Hariri ran the Mossad and then died. And General Raphael Eitan was on my ass in 1997 when I was doing 42 states of speeches in 6 months or 7 months. And so anyway, he was on me trying to assassinate me. I had to outrun him. I was running 140 miles an hour in a new Pontiac I had. He had an old Ford with a 429 in it. He was running about 120, so I pulled away from him up in Indiana on the freeways. But this guy's dangerous. And it was too much noise I was making back then. It was the reason he was on me. But he was the ones that supplied the true Hebrews to Nazi Germany. In exchange, in 1947, they go on and they slaughter 40,000 Palestinians in Palestine, what is now occupied as Israel. Just for everybody's edification, in 1948, the UN recognized them as a state. Now, the problem they have is that place, they want, you know, it's where the Wailing Wall is the old Roman fort. It is not where all the Christians think is the new temple. Now, Joe can get in that too, more, but I think it's called Davies or Davis is where that new temple supposedly has been built back to the way it was at the time of the execution of Christ. Now, the Jews came in, slaughtered 40,000 Palestinians, and drove them into this Palestine. Then they make these different agreements with Jimmy Carter and Anwar Sadat of Egypt that got assassinated right there in his own presidential stand and the whole bit, which is, and Rabin, I think it was calling for the peace once and for all. Israel has not lived up to one agreement in that peace pact since it was signed. Not one agreement. Palestine has, but they haven't. Now, there's a professor that was at Jerusalem University and some other university over here, and Joe can chime in on this in a minute, but he did a study, about $5 million grant he got, to study with the true Hebrews of ancient time, the true, what people call today Jews, but they were the true Hebrew bloodline. And it turns out to be that 92% of the Palestinians have this true Hebrew bloodline of ancient times, but the current Jews, the claim to be Jews that are in Israel, were tested, and it's like 92% of them are European. They're coming out of Ukraine, the old Khazarian Jew line, okay, the greater Israel. Now, let me tell you technology, because I noticed the Mossad was on my website yesterday because of the software I have. It identifies them. There's Israel, and there's the Mossad. What are they looking for? Well, I talked about the death ray. They were looking for the link on the death ray because they were searching the box. Well, let's talk about two things that I'm aware of that Israel is committing crimes. One is the stolen Inslaw software, Bill Hamilton, my friend. Okay, and it was a very, very famous case that went before Congress, and they said that he was cheated out of $200 million or whatever it was, and most, I forgot how they worded it, but they said it's one of the most worst cases of someone having to collect their money. Now, that was to set up prosecutor software, is what it was intended for. Now it became intel. The Jews steal everybody's technology. And they're in charge of the United States of America's government phone system is the a Israeli-owned company. Why is American FBI, everybody, all the agencies, CIA, everybody, why is it that they're using this company out of Israel, allowing them to spy on our government and all of our people? Now, let's go a little bit further. Israel has committed one mass crime after another related to nuclear material that came off a Rocky Flats nuclear arsenal in Denver, Colorado, of which my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, in a Citicorp, did the cleanup there, a bank doing the cleanup of a contaminated area. 2,000 pounds of plutonium spilled on the hillside. That wasn't the only thing. It was dust, a plutonium, uranium, whichever it was. And there's a story on my Break a News page below it that shows, you know, Rocky Flats. Click on it, and that's my knowledge of it. But I know a little bit further, okay, that they contaminated. A whistleblower came forward from the dumps or that was dumping the material near what's called the North Platte and South Platte River near downtown. They were dumping it over there, and the dump was right on the side of the river. Well, people are drinking radiated water out there now. It's coming out about that. And it's going to be bad when everybody realizes how much they've already got radiation in them. But they dumped that in there instead of taking it and burying it where it's supposed to be. But there was another part to this story, and this is where my story comes up. Now, this whistleblower ends up dead, and people that were aware of the situation had to leave the country. I'll leave it that way. Now, the other side of it was that I was aware because Gunther Rusbacher, my friend before he was killed or dead years ago, Defrauding America, he was in Rodney Stitch's book. Well, he was the CIA that was in charge of the transportation of this nuclear material that went to the Israelis in St. Louis, Missouri, Apex Aviation, Israeli Mossad operation, people inside Gov that listen to this radio show. Now, they shipped this material in cranberry juice trucks because cranberry juice puts off the same thing on the highways that radiation does for these detectors that our government set up across all America. So they can't tell whether it's radiation. They shipped that stuff out. Now, Israel was a recipient of I don't know how many pounds, several thousand pounds of this stuff. And over the years, they were shipping it like about a 10-year period of time, moving it out of there. And so they sold it all over the world. They sold some to North Korea. They sold some to who else was it? Iran. Iran. And they sold some to even Saddam Hussein at the time. Okay. But that's something that I'm aware of. Now, Joe, you want to chime in on kind of like where both of us went? As far as information?
Well, it's just that I've been monitoring several rabbis on the internet that are posting their experience with what happened on the borderline And it all pointed towards one thing, anomalies that were happening and occurring. Some are even saying that the real war happened the night before, and that helicopters came in not discriminating between the Israeli and the Arabs, and slaughtered a whole bunch of them with their helicopters. So there's some of these rabbis are coming out and saying that what happened down there on the border is called Israel's 9/11. So if you can, folks, take a look around by what they have said on blogs in Israel concerning the anomalies that have occurred at that breaking into the Israeli territory. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, we do have a video of Apache helicopters attacking Israelis in order to drive up the numbers that would be attributed to Hamas. No question about it. We also, of course, have U.S. complicity here because they're using weapons provided by the United States, even though it's doubly illegal to do so, number one, because Israel has undeclared stocks of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. The Symington Amendment, ancient law, precludes providing foreign aid to any nation that has undeclared weapons of mass destruction, but we're doing it anyway. And in addition, we also have laws that preclude providing weapons to any country that is active in human rights violations, and which there could not be more egregious examples than what Israel is doing to the Palestinians today. And this goes on unabated, largely because our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory. Cynthia McKinney, back in 2011, revealed a pledge that every new member of Congress is asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel even ahead of those of the United States. And we know, of course, that key players in the Biden administration are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, Janet Yellen, Alexander Mayorkas, Merrick Garland, Anthony Blinken. These are all individuals who are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, where I explained back in 2008 at a Ron Paul Freedom Rally on the grass outside the Capitol on April 15th that no dual citizen should ever be placed in a decision, a policy-shaping or decision-making position within the American government, because you cannot know that their loyalty to the other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. In the case of the individual I just mentioned, I think those are perfect illustrations of the catastrophe that can ensue. Mayorkas is implementing, you know, the plan to flood America with migrants, which has also been implemented in Europe, and just allowing millions to pour over the border. I'm certain we have an army entering without weapons, which are going to be provided to them by the American government, just as they're being provided with $2,200 a month, with food, with shelter, with green cards. I mean, they're getting the red carpet treatment, and it's outrageous, simply outrageous what's taking place. Where Donald Trump, I think, is greatly endearing himself to the American people by declaring that if he is restored to the presidency, he will undertake the largest deportation program in the history of the nation. Much deserved, very appropriate. Meanwhile, I advise the American public, make sure you are armed. Make sure you're stocking up on ammo. Have a supply of food. We could be in desperate straits in the very near future. You must be prepared to lock and load and defend yourself, because a part of the ongoing scam here has been to defund the police, to deprive the American people of the ability to defend themselves, where I've reported many, many times, Americans use guns for defensive purposes millions of times every year, saving an estimated 200,000 lives per annum, which compares very favorably with the gun violence deaths, which run roughly around 75,000, more than half of which are from suicide. So we would be massively increasing the deaths from gun violence if we did not allow the American people to defend themselves. And I have said too before and say again, when they come for our guns, the time has come to use them. Some suggest it's already, by that point in time, too late.
Now, Jim, you were a captain in the Marine Corps. You were in Vietnam, correct?
I was in the Marine Corps in the Vietnam era. I was never in country, Stu. I was in the active 62 to 66. First year was training as an infantry officer, Quantico, then as artillery officer, Fort Sill. Then I was sent to Okinawa Base Camp, 3rd Marine Division, 1st Battalion, 12th Marines. I was fire direction officer of the Border Battery. We had ops in Japan, in Formosa, in Korea, Philippines, R&R in Hong Kong. Then I was brought back to the U.S. to supervise recruit training, where I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command through the training cycle. And then I was, my fourth year in the Corps, moved up to regimental headquarters to revise the training program. So instead of producing 8,000 recruits as Marines in 11 weeks, we could produce 11,000 recruits as Marines in 8 weeks, and I was there to see it operate at max efficiency as Lyndon was building up the war, which Jack had wound down, and that was, of course, among the reasons he was taken out.
Interesting. You know, I was in the Marine Corps. I was in the 4th Marine Division. That was a reservist. But I served as a Remington Raider, taking care of office records, changing everybody's records every month that they wanted updated, and that was my job. And I answered to a staff sergeant, but it right next door was the CO, which in the field I guarded him. He was a captain. Now he had 3 degrees. He was working on the 3rd one. But you know, Jim, back then when I was in boot camp in 1971. You know, here I am in the chow line after we get our drill instructors, and you probably know what that's like. You know, screaming, because Vietnam was going on. We were screaming before we went in to eat, "Kill a gook for God. Aye, aye, sir. Kill a gook for God. Aye, aye, sir." Were you ever subject to some of that brainwashing? Jim? I guess you don't answer the question. Okay.
Go ahead. I want to hear Joel's thoughts about all of the above.
Go ahead, Joel.
Well, one of the things that Jim is very familiar with is that the worst kind of warfare for any infantry, whether it's another country or this, is to get into urban conflict. And to try every room, every house has to be searched and eliminating the enemy, because you can't have them behind you as you progress down through the town. And so one of the things that is happening that these rabbis are saying, because they contact other people that have sons in the IDF, and they're telling them what's going on, and there are horrendous losses on the side of the IDF. For instance, one of the things that happens is that they do not have infantry following the tanks. And one of the reasons is that you have the infantry following the tanks is so that you don't get some guy popping up from behind you and zapping the tank with an RPG. Now, the Palestinian, being somewhat an ingenious type of thing, modified their RPGs by putting in a certain kind of explosive so that when it hit, it created a little hole, and the explosion worked its way on the inside of the tank and burned everybody up. And so apparently they are not telling the truth about how many IDF people they're losing. And just keep in mind, though, as Jim knows, the worst kind of operations that you can get into if you're on the offense is urban warfare, because every room, every cookable has to be searched to find the enemy. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, yes, Joe, and they want to use American troops to do the most dangerous, hazardous. They want the American troops to go into the tunnels Hamas has underneath Gaza, some of which appear to be large enough to drive a tank. I mean, it's huge. They're very large. But they want to use, as I mentioned, already 5,000 Delta Force. The casualties are high. They do want to keep the information away from the public. They're planning now. They have just assigned some 800 soldiers to be recruiters, to be trained as recruiters, obviously in participating in a new draft. I don't think anyone wants to go and die for Israel in its genocide against the Palestinians. So as I see it, this whole undertaking is not going to be successful. I think we're going to have the most massive draft protests in American history if they move forward. And because they're completely under the influence of the Israeli government, if you simply think of Bibi Netanyahu as our commander-in-chief, you get a better idea of exactly what's going on here and why we've not only sent four carriers to the region, but also a nuclear submarine, and where we've had F-35s up in relation to Ukraine be photographed with open bomb bay doors showing they have two nuclear bombs. I mean, I think this is incredibly stupid, because Russia is the most formidable nuclear power on the face of Earth today. Russia has ICBMs we cannot stop. The Satan II delivers 15 independently targetable warheads. A single missile could take out the whole of France.
Jim, we have. I'm aware that we have the same thing. Okay, I am aware, because I don't want to get too much into it, but I'll put it this way: my dad was vice president in charge of quality reassurance there at Bendix in Kansas City, and he taught Dole inspectors before his retirement how to do their job. And Super Spook Otis told me, sat in his house and told him what he made. And we can deliver 14 out of one also, and they can change the codes in midair, and they can change the yield in midair, and instead of going 14 big blasts, they do 14 buildings, boom, 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 all in midair. Wild stuff. I'll tell you about it sometime. Go ahead.
Well, the Soviet missiles are hypersonic, and they cannot be stopped. U.S. does not have the ability to stop the Soviet missiles. So I suspect we have space-based weapons that we believe might be able to perform Star Wars-style defense. We'll see. Because I think it's going to come to it. They have anti-submarine torpedoes that do zigzag course through, can't be stopped. They have the best anti-missile systems in the world. My opinion is Russia is far more formidable as a nuclear power than the United States.
They developed one hell of a rocket.
We're the aggressor and provoking in a way that I think is very, misconceived and ill-fated. Yeah, Stu, you're more of yours.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement with you. And they developed a rocket, and Trump even offered to buy the jet propulsion system of it, that they could fly, you know, this top secret missiles that they had and the whole bit. But he's the one offered to do a deal with them. But Russia, let me tell you, they think, here's what I do know. I was saying, wherever it came from, we supposedly have a dome over us like Israel has. It's a dome shield. But what it does is it alerts where the missile's coming in, so forth. And sometimes if it hits that shield just perfect, it might change the code in it. Okay? But the code is changing all the time as it's flying, so the enemy can't get into it. Now, Ross Perot's company built the systems for those, the software, by the way. And Ross Perot was a friend of mine. And he did the grand jury against my ex-father-in-law that got him tagged for $80 million fine in Denver in 1997, which they invited me to the grand jury, and they wouldn't let me through the doors, the FBI, and they killed the grand jury the next day and sealed it underneath national security. And little Larry Mizell was one of the ones that got hit for $10 million, Brownstein, and Mayor Federico Pena, former mayor that was in charge of DOE. He had to resign his position because he was under indictment for taking a bribe from the Denver crowd. And Ross Perot proved his operation that there was 150 federal agents, judges, prosecutors, and everybody took bribes anywhere from $1.5 million to $2 million apiece from the group in Denver. Okay, now one of them is Larry Mizell. He's the one, as Otis Johnson said, the fallen angel, I called him. He says that they're registered as aliens with the NSA, because he was NSA. He worked for General Flynn before they murdered him. And then Flynn's indicted 2 weeks later and had to resign national security, okay, because they were running an operation against the boys and it didn't work. It backfired in their face. But Otis knew it all. I mean, he saw it all. He said that they saw in space-time, he says through the super collider in Switzerland, the planet Earth was going to be hit by a big fireball sometime by 2025, 6 times the size of Earth. He says it's going to be pelleted with, and he told me this in 2017 for his death, and he said there would be 2 stars that would hit us, they saw in the space-time and through CERN. Now, fallen angels are real, and you have a good friend, Jim Fetzer, Dr. Preston James. Now, he's a good Christian man in the whole bit. I've known him for years, since back in 90, around 90 or 90, 92, I think it was. But I have posted up on my website, on Stu Webb, dated November the 11th, 2023. It says, Secret Space War 7, Marduk is crowned in Africa. Now, read that, folks. That's a very important story, because that gives you the idea of what we are, the reptilian aliens, fallen angels, okay, that talks about Genesis, where they fell about an estimated million, or in the war, an estimated third, so that'd be about 333,000, but there's 200,000 registered within NSA, according to Otis told me. And he said they call them aliens, not fallen angels, but he says, Stu, I'm in agreement with you, they are the fallen angels. Now, this story that Preston James, I give him total respect, Secret Space Wars 7, Marduk is crowned in Africa. It's a great, excellent piece that he had done. And there's links in the bottom of that that go to some of the other stories that he wrote about pertaining to the fallen angels. Now, that gives you a good idea, okay? But there's some other things that we mentioned. Now, John Lear was a friend of mine. He was a test pilot. And I had him on, and I got him posted about a month ago up on the radio, or up on Breaking News page, or just punching John Lear, and it come up my search box. And there's the radio, or go to the radio bar 3 and look for John Lear. I posted about a month ago, maybe. And that was a 3-hour show from way back, where he admitted that his father built the flying saucer, sold Lear jets in 1952, and took the contract to build 150 saucers, flying saucers for the U.S. government between 52 and 59. Now, John admits in there that. And he also admits to being a test pilot, I believe it was, in that one show we did. and the whole bit. But I mean, this is how far the technology. It's called the 1952 to 2012 Alien Agreement, which was extended. Okay, and this gives them the bases and the tunnels, and you know, mentioned tunnels underneath, Jim, over there that Hamas has. They drive tanks through. They got a boring machine, the U.S. Air Force does. And they have bored from end to end throughout this country. And Otis took a flight on the little rail, 60 stories below the White House, the Situation Room, and took the little rail from there to Los Angeles International Airport. And they were there in an hour and 45 minutes on a rail that is underground. Running down there, and some he said, "Stu, if we had come off the rail, and they had oxygen mask on, him and another super spook, if we had come off that rail," he said, "we would have been like a fly, someone hitting us with a fly swatter on the wall." It was that wild. But Jim, you made a comment about get locked and loaded, and get prepared. I think we ought to talk a little bit more on that, because I have a bad feeling, and I want you to chime in on this, Joe, because you brought to my attention we got 5 million Chinese troops in the U.S. You want to chime in, Joe?
Well, I think what we have to do is back up a little bit here so that we don't lose the theme of what we're talking about, because it gets you into propositions that may not happen, and one of those things that it came out of yesterday, the governor of New York said, in essence, we're going to have to increase the surveillance state so that we'll be safe. That is the social card through the computer which will govern your life. They want to implement that now. And so when we talk about getting ready and things like that, keep in mind it could be the big boys manipulating things to bring about the big surveillance state. Jim, go ahead.
No, I'm keen on hearing your further thoughts.
Sure. Anyway,
as an agnostic, but also philosopher of science, I'm a skeptic about fallen angels and the like, even about aliens, but I know there are those I respect, including Preston, James, and Stu, who speak with great conviction about these matters. Joel, I'm curious, what's your stance about fallen angels and aliens?
May I add something real quick? On my breaking news column, I posted it yesterday. It's called Cosmic Disclosure Movies and TV Shows with Bill Tompkins. And it's also got one of John Lear in there and someone else that I put in there intentionally. These are off of YouTube, etc. And it's also, I posted up Edward Casey's 7 Prophecies Yet to Come. Okay, you might take a look at that. That's right, yesterday's post. I just want to bring it to everybody's attention. We can look at that. Now, Joe, go ahead.
Okay, what we have to be careful with is getting what Catherine Austin Fitch says, the breakaway civilization. You got to be very careful in how it's presented. What you refer to is William P. Tompkins. William P. Tompkins was a young man during World War II that was brought in because he had the talent of looking at something, even if it was just spoken, and he could make a drawing perfect of it. And so a guy by the name of Admiral Abada, brought in by James Forrestal, the then Secretary of Defense, to investigate the secret programs that was happening in Germany. And then according to these secret agents that the Navy sent in, they were able to bring back these packages of information that they could not decipher. But what they did was is to bring William P. Tompkins in as a young 17-year-old, and he began making drawings. And what they found out was, and this is what he said, because William P. Tompkins is or was a big NASA official. He was not one of these guys way out there that are speaking off of his hip pocket. William P. Tompkins was the real thing. And what he said was, the aliens gave at Paramunda, the Germans, the ability to have anti-gravity machines.
Now, there's an interview of him underneath that cosmic thing with Bill Tompkins. There's one in there John Lear is in that link, and others talking about the aliens and talking about what they know. Now, Ed Slade, my friend, I mean, I've done audios with him, and they're up there underneath the breaking news talking about UFOs and stuff. And he worked at the alien base called Papoose Lake, Nevada. Now, I mean, I've known people who flew in there, okay? We've got all these bases every place, but the aliens have been here for a while. But it's hard to convince somebody if they don't. But take a look at that one link that I posted up there that Joe had brought to my attention about William Tompkins, Jim, because there is some vital information in there, okay? And it tells you the history of him.
Well, let me just say, domestically, the new Speaker of the House decoupled the triple whammy package the Biden admin wanted of aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan into separate packages. The Israeli, I think he knew there was no point fighting it, was going to pass, zip through, $14.6 billion, as I recall. But he coupled the Ukrainian aid package with money for our southern border, which I think was a brilliant political stroke. Because nothing, in my opinion, is more pressing domestically than to seal the border. And by the way, the alternative Republican candidates who are conducting the debates are being humiliated again and again, most recently by the audience chanting one name, Trump, Trump, Trump. And I think they got it right as I see it. He's the only one who really has the following and the leadership ability to right our ship of state, even though he is expressing support for Israel in relation to the Palestinians. And of course, we know in the past he was enthusiastic about the vax with warp speed. I wish he would repudiate those positions. I think it's unlikely, but I'd rather have a flawed leader who is trying to do good for America than a completely corrupt puppet imposter such as a present administration that is destroying this nation as fast as can be done. Makes your head spin when you look at all the evidence in every direction.
Yeah, we got the enemy within. That's the problem. That's the problem that the United States has.
And it's just... Well, I would recommend to people who do not live on the border, like my hometown is El Paso, Texas. We used to go hunting up and down the Rio Grande River. One of the things that this guy by the name of the real Anthony Aguero, A-G-U-E-R-O, will do a splendid job of letting you see what it means with these large influxes of people that are coming through the Darien Gap way down in Panama and working their way up to the border. He goes up and interviews them. And so you get an idea of who and what's what on the border. Now, if you want to understand the idea about the replacement population, you've got to get the idea of what is it like on the border. Well, go to real Anthony Aguero, and he goes up and interviews them, and he's right there on the border. So I highly recommend that everybody go do that. because is reaching a crisis state because they don't have any more room to put these illegal invaders, because they're not here as illegals, they're invaders, and they are overwhelming everything. Wherever they go, it overwhelms all the shelters, the food, etc., etc. So the border thing is not just a border thing, it is a means by which the United States and Europe is being unraveled piece by piece by piece. And here's a little secret that no candidate will say. It's very easy for the President of the United States to close the border. All he has to do is pick up a phone and say, arrest and return. And the Border Patrol has to do it. But they said that? No, because they are saying, detain and release. That's the order from Biden. Detain and release. Why aren't Congress pushing this kind of idea of just saying, hey, Mr. President, pick up the phone, call the Border Patrol, and say, arrest and return, and that ends it.
Now, Joe, you touched on something that comes back to the executive order power of the president. That they have, as long as we're at war, under the Emergency War Powers Act, 1933, I think it was, as long as we're at war with some country, some place, they have executive order power, and they've kept that in effect all these years. And that's what they're doing. He can make it happen right then and there and shut the border. But he won't do it.
Well, one of the things that is worth your time is to go and watch BorderHawk.org. He is also another person that shows you them just walking in. That's all they do. And the Border Patrol comes by, gives them a quick interview. They put them on the bus, take them down to a detaining center where they further say, this is your a court date of which you have to appear. Goodbye. We have illegals in a place called Aguila that they're just sitting out there, and Aguila is just a little blink of a little town that has a hamburger stand, and that's it. And they have hundreds of illegals sitting there not knowing where to go. So this is turning into a real mess of mass humanity, and it's getting, well, what kind of diseases are coming through? What's happening to all of the little kids that are coming through, and you can tell that that's not the parent, and they're being sold into the slavery underground that is happening here in the United States. So take a look at those, because it's very important, because that is one of the tools, again, of where the global elite are dismantling this country. And the same thing is happening in Europe. Jim.
Yep. No, Stu, I think we've covered the basics here today.
Okay, I want to cover one thing with you real quick. Are you aware that the attack on Russia today or last night?
No, tell me.
Well, they had something on the news about it. That Russia got up on Microsoft News there on Bing. Had something about Russia being attacked last night again. So they've been attacking, Ukraine has, but with whose weapons? The ones
with
we've been supplying
weapons?
Them. Yeah, there's some stuff.
What weapons?
They've been hitting the cities over there in near Moscow, hitting Russia now. There was something on the news about it. I just wonder if you had heard anything. Now, I want to ask you one quick question. I want Joe to answer it too. Pretend tomorrow we have a nuclear explosion in America, two or three. They blame it on Russia, and Russia gets pounded back, and Chinese get pounded, and we're at war. And we got Russian troops up on the northern border of Canada and the U.S., and 100,000 of them. They did 100,000 Chinese up there. Nobody reports on. Supposedly the same things on the Mexican border. And we got 5 million Chinese troops in the U.S. that Joel gave me the information. I put it up on the website here a while back, a week or two ago. We get invaded. We're going to have to take over our country, and we're going to have to drive them out, kill them. Probably what's going to mass amount of slaughter of them. But we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to defend our states, and we're going to have to defend our police departments. We're going to have to have them be involved. If they don't, just boom, get rid of them. Get rid of whatever it resists you. New World Order crap, in my opinion. We're going to have to be serious about it, and we're going to have to take over and make sure we keep order in the country so it doesn't come apart completely. But we're going to have to first, in my opinion, we're going to have to execute whatever invades us. Now, you are a captain in the Marine Corps. Take us down that path. We're getting invaded. What's the first thing they're going to do? EMF us. They're going to knock out electronics. Will the cars run? Probably not. Computers go dead. And that little device they changed out, put in electronic instead of points and a coil, that won't go anyplace. So that's going to EMP us. It's going to burn the computers. It's going to burn the cell phones. Communications are going to go down. Is anybody ready for the bigger picture? That's my question.
Well, of course nobody's ready for it. What could be more obvious than this administration is promoting it? They're not taking steps to protect us. We're basically defenseless, apart from militias and what individuals can do here. So you're outlining a nightmare scenario, Stu, and well, I can only say I hope that God it doesn't come to pass, because we have no responsible government defending the American people. We're in a catastrophic situation should that occur.
Well, you know, I asked Otis Johnson kind of that question, what would happen if we were ever attacked? And of course we've got the FEMA problem and Ollie North and Daddy Bush and the creation of that to supposedly take over the different, you know, military and police departments, all that garbage. I asked him, he said, what would happen? He said, basically he said it'd be the militias, and he said, I will tell you, he said that from about captains down, colonels down, inside of our military, he said they would turn against the leaders of America and they would side with the American people. He said, I guarantee you that, because of the devotion of the human beings for each other. So, anyway, he felt that was the scenario. So maybe we'll have part of the military on our side. Even if you know, because we're going to have a government that's going to be wiped out. I guarantee you, they're going to wipe them all, clean their clock, and it won't be us having to do it. It's going to be the, if we were to ever be attacked, we'd be in that situation. We're going to have to recreate the government. Okay, that means people have to stand up in their own state after the war is over. I'm just painting the worst scenario it could possibly be, and I tell you, prayer works and changes things. Now, Joe, I want you to add to this, would you?
I can almost tell you where we're going to go. Because why? Because it's already happened in Europe. I had a sister that worked in the highest position that you could get in the UN, and she used to tell me the stories. And it came true. She was going to settle in France with her husband. They decided not to. And this is going way back in the late 70s and early 80s. France was getting too dangerous. Now, in France, there are cities that the French police, the French military will not go in there because they'll be chewed up and shot to pieces. In Malmo, Sweden, every weekend, you can hear automatic weapons fire, grenades going off. These are the Middle Easterners, drug gangs fighting among each other. And that is what the elite want. They want that chaos. Is there a controlled chaos? And that is what is already happening on our border. It's going to work its way to the north. And for us individual, it's going to be very, very difficult, because if you get into a crowd and you shoot one of them, you're going to go to jail. That's what will happen. Why do I know that? Because it's already happening. Right now, it's already going on in Europe and already going on along in the border. You harm any one of those invaders, you go to jail.
And they're taking
That's
over.
That's what it's called, the controlled chaos.
And they're taking over. They're taking over hotel rooms in New York, or did, of veterans who were homeless. Vets, keeping them off the streets, and they kick them out, and they put the invaders in. Now, one
There's
more
a little fact for you guys. What does it mean when they dismantle? In other words, how is it going to affect us? Well, this morning I listened to a report from the state troopers. Commander, and he said, we are down 300 officers. 300 is a critical mass. And he says, because we are not issuing tickets, we are now seeing freeway speeds in the downtown section that are 80 and 90 miles an hour. That's what we're going to face. Things like that, the dismantling of the governance. They want that controlled chaos. And the freeways in certain places west of Phoenix, they're reaching speeds up to 100 miles an hour on the freeway, and people are like going berserk.
Joe, I did it in broad daylight. After I got across the Nevada border into California, and you get out there and there's that one stretch, I don't know how long it is, 50 miles or so, it's just flat. And you can see for a long ways. And I had a radar detector pick up everything. And some car went around me, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to see how badass this little 94 Pontiac Grand Am is, you know, white tires and all that, six-cylinder in it. I put it to 140 miles an hour. I said, this is fast enough.
Well, here's another thing for everybody out there in the audience. When you see the 18-wheeler drivers on your freeway, particularly out here, they are not the Smokey and the Bandit type of driver. Half are foreign drivers, and some of those cannot even speak English. You go west of Phoenix on the I-10, and you reach outside of Quartzsite, you will see this graveyard of crashed 18-wheelers. What do you do when you get behind 18-wheelers that are doing a convoy of 10 trucks, and they're making up a hill, maybe making it 50 miles, 55 miles an hour? And you become impatient, but you have to make your move. And guess what? Here comes the traffic coming on the other way. Those are the things that we're going to face. In LA, the downtown homeless population, it is horrendous now. It is degenerated into levels that are beyond our imagination. People who have walking around with parts of their body eaten up by bacteria. And you see, everybody thinks it's the downtown LA. No, they have areas out into other, where they brought in old recreational vehicles that could barely work, and you'll see like 20 of them. And of those 20, none of them can run, and they live in there. But yet we have all of this money being given to the invaders. Again, it is the controlled dismantling of this country and Europe and Australia.
Joe, you want to add? I mean, Jim, you want to add anything? Before we close?
No, Sue. I think we've done it.
Yeah, we just we're going to have to pick it up. I mean, I like what General Plan says, to get involved with your local community. That is your school boards, and put a stop to all this nonsense they're teaching the kids, and take control of things and do it on the county level, the county commissioners, and attend their meetings and municipalities, attend those city hall meetings, and do it with numbers. Get the patriots together. I remember the patriot groups back in the 90s when I was speaking at them. 42 states, I don't know, about 150 speeches. I mean, it was just one place to another, to another, to another. And, you know, selling videos, which covered my expenses. But I'm telling you what, there were groups of 1,500 people out there in Chicago, as an example I spoke at. There were groups of 1,000 people in Indiana, things of that nature, all across the country. Okay, we're around 350 here, 350 there, 500. Well, we're going to have to start doing that. And the people that are listening to me, I know that many of them are organized. Okay, I mean, I created GOL, Guardians of American Liberties. It was a militia, but they were county by county, state by state, with no central control. And boy, people got involved. So all I can say is, they spent me at Center Time Magazine in 1995 as one of the 14 militias in the country. So I don't know. And then when I called Jonathan Stacks up, Time Magazine editor, oh, a blast from the past too. I said, yeah. I said, what the hell are you doing to me? What? What? That's you? Oh, yeah. And here Jonathan Beatty had wrote the book BCCI and did a whole bunch of stories on Denver in 1990. Broke the story on the Denver International Airport for me and the Keating Five, they dubbed it. So, anyway, long story, but they're good people. But Beatty BCCI ties in all the Clintons and their drug money. It's a good read. But, Jim, any last words? Give out your website. Make sure you do that.
Plus, too, I'm going to have a false flag and a conspiracy conference on the 16th and the 17th of December. It's going to be free to the public. It's going to be live by Zoom, easily accessible from your home. 20 or more presentations. I'm lining up the best speakers and most important topics. Mark your calendar. We'll give you more information as it develops. Meanwhile, my blog, JamesHFetzer.org, my video blog, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and I'm on Twitter, at Jim Fetzer.
Well, I thank you very much, Jim. And Joe, any last words?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's always an honor to have these two on. I'll talk to you both later. Have a good one.